from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who says, buckle your dream belts, or loosely, you know, but loosely, because they're the one belt you buckle that you could keep it loose. They're elastic, and they may be made of ether or aether, knitted by Esther, made of ether or aether. Aether and Esther, but anyway, you know what am I talking about? I barely have any idea. Dream belts, I guess. But you know what time it is? It's time for Sleep With Me, a podcast that puts you to sleep. If you're new, welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. Here's a couple of ways we keep the podcast free for everybody. Or if you can't sit up in bed and pay attention, when your hand hits that fridge tomorrow, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the part of the podcast I really need you to hear so we can keep it free for everybody. It's the listeners who went out of their way to support the sponsors. In this case, as Mr. Baird sings, it's 4444 Sigmatic. Maggie K to the B, Sally to the W, and Sasha all supported 4 Sigmatic. Let me know about it. They let 4 Sigmatic know about it. So, you know, people appreciate their support of Sleep With Me, and I really appreciate it. So thank you, Maggie, Sally, and Sasha. And thanks, everybody, for listening. If you support a sponsor, if you want to know about more about sponsors, check our show notes or go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And when you support a sponsor, tag them. Let them know you heard about them on Sleep With Me, that you appreciate their support of the show. And let me know about it so I can thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through. Form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. Oh, now on.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget, share about podcasts over this holiday season. It really is a good gift because there's a podcast for everybody. So in your holiday discussions, you know, steer it towards podcasts. What better thing and say, oh, you haven't heard of them? I know you love. Let's not talk about that other stuff. Let's talk about knitting podcasts or, you know, fish podcasts, whatever it is. Show your family, show your friends how to subscribe to podcasts. And it's good for every podcast. It's good for everybody. Except for those, you know, except for the people that's, you know, but the people that choose not to listen, that's fine. But, you know, empower people through podcasts. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, so things on your mind. Feelings or emotions you're experiencing, physical things, travel, anticipation, night wake-ups. Hey, if you just woke up, I'm here to help get you back to sleep, keep you company while you do. Usually these intros are designed for the new listener, but also the regular listener to be something familiar, but also have some variety in it. And so I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off stuff. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, ideally soothing yet distracting. That's why, I guess that's what they say, Scoots, why do you have creaky, dulcet tones? It's creaky like a door, dulcet like a, I don't know, imagine like a premium ice cream bar. Even though I think dulcet's audio, you'd say, well, what's up with that new fancy new bar they got in the stores, the premium ice cream bar? But they said it's one of the first mass marketed bespoke ice cream bars. And I'd say, well, that sounds fishy because I don't know if the and they, I say, well, what's it called? And they said the dulcet something. I forgot because you're making it up during the intro of a sleep podcast. Okay, well, I'm glad you're picturing that in your head, dessert brain. No problem. I'll go back to imagining that stuff. Great. Sorry, that was my dessert brain there. Where was it? I'm a semi, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic, circular logic. You kidding me? Circular logic. I say octagonal logic. I'm going to use trapezoidal. I may be the first person to lose an argument with trapezoidal logic. I think I should get into some debates. Maybe not those like debates, but I say, well, maybe I could do a post, not like a political debates, but some other form of debating that's soft power debates. How come there's no friend? I mean, debate clubs, I would assume, are friendly. I can never get to the point. So I was, I think I applied to do debates before I was kicked out of, what was that? What was one of the clubs I was in? Actually, no, I didn't. My membership lapsed at the Future Business Leaders, you know, to be honest, I think I've talked about it. After I lost, like, I went to a conference and I lost all my, like, dinner and lunch money on playing poker in the hotel room. Don't worry, some of my friends, you know, I was still able to get food. That wasn't a problem. But so that was the end of that thing. But I couldn't get on the debate club. I think I talked about that, though, before. I'm not upset about it. Life, you know, life lessons, you know. I don't know what my point was, other than I guess I'd like to come off the stage in like a sports reporter, like a sideline debate reporter, or like they're doing the play-by-play of the debate I just lost, or they say, well, that was whatever a missed debate is, where it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like a debate that ends in, it wasn't a win or a loss, it was defaulted. Or so they say, well, Scoots, he started using trapezoidal logic and a portal opened to the geo world. Like the world of, like, in Star Fox actually flew right through it from those old Nintendo games. And new listeners started wondering what in the heck he was talking about. So he circled right back. He took a turn on the old I went trapezoidal the other day. I just couldn't stop talking about trapezoids. And someone said, I don't think you know what that means. And I said, thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Wesley. That's the actor's name's Carrie. I said, I don't know what that means. But actually, that was Mandy Patinkin, I think, that said that. Okay, where was I? Because we went down a path there. So, if you're a new listener, I tend to go off topic. Would you believe that? And I rarely get to the point. But let me give you some information. So, that was unplanned. It all started with an imaginary ice cream bar. I guess it would be the heir to the Good Humor fortune. That's what they would write. Like, what if they became like what was that movie with, what was that movie with those two famous people? That was a remake of that. That was the third remake. Anyway, like if it was a movie like that, you know what I'm talking about? Like I have Wesley stuck in my head, so I can't get their names. Oh, I almost had it. I want to say Wesley and Gigi, but neither one of those two. But they could say that could be their movie. It all started with it because that movie is called like Star something, Star Lover. I can't remember, even though it just came out. And I think it won a bunch of Oscars. This movie or this book. Maybe another fictional autobiography I could put on my list. It all started with an ice cream bar. How I lost the entire Good Humor fortune, but learned to have good humor. How I lost my family's fortune and learned the real meaning of good humor. Boom, that's a book right there. You could publishers start your pitching, because that book may even, I may even sit down to think about writing it by 2030. Otherwise, we'll put that one out on Gingerbread Press. Any listeners, please remind me. Maybe I could do that as an episode. I guess I probably should. Maybe I should do that as tonight's episode. Anyway, if you're a new listener, let me give you some information. The show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free for everybody and not behind a paywall, because everybody deserves a good night's sleep. Then there's an intro. The intros are about 12 to 15 minutes. They are content-filled. Sometimes people think they're just fluff. I say, well, depends. I mean, if the intros are fluff, then the whole podcast is. But this is one where we discovered what the episode, the show was going to be about while we were doing the intro. But so what was it? What was my point? I don't know. Oh, so structure show. So then there's a business in the intro is like a wind down. It's a 12 or 15 minute rapport building session where the rapport is established that I'm trying to be your friendly voice in the deep dark night and you don't need to listen to me. So there's no pressure to listen, but there's also no pressure to fall asleep because I'm here. I do the intro. Then we'll do a bedtime story. Maybe it'll be this tale of good humor. A good humor gone wrong, maybe. And then between the intro and the story is some business. And then there's thank yous at the end. So I think that establishes the structure of the show. Also, the other two things are you don't need to listen to me. No need to take me seriously, which you may have figured out already, because they do tend to go off topic and meander and not get to the point and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the shows are about an hour. You could queue up. You know, some people, here's the thing if you're new. Some people fall asleep after they listen to the show a few times. They fall asleep really fast. But that's not most listeners. That's just some listeners. So some listeners start listening to the podcast as they're getting ready for bed. Some listeners listen as they're in bed, unwinding. Some people listen when they wake up. Some people listen in the morning or when they need a break at work. So kind of just test out what works for you. And then you could kind of see, because some listeners like to skip ahead to the story, and some people fall asleep during the intro. Some people listen to the intro as they, and then they fall asleep during the story. So just kind of see how it goes. But I'm glad you're here. What other stuff was that? I think I had another point I was going to make in there that I forgot to make. So this wasn't super important. I mean, I make this show because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. You know, I've been there tossing and turning or waking up early. You know, not being able to, I've been through it all. And I just want to help. Now, this show does not work for everybody. It's really more here to keep you company as you fall asleep and to take your mind off of stuff. But give it a few tries. If for some reason you're already positive, you know, because it's free. So give it a few tries. You know, there's the only benefit for me is that you get a good night's sleep and the world's a better place for you and me. That's really what I want. But give it a few tries. If it doesn't work or you're already positive, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/no-thank-you. Because that is other sleep podcasts and chill podcasts you could check out. So that's that. If you're new, you might not see how it goes. If you're skeptical, if you're kind of like, oh, this is interesting, but it's skeptical, are you ever going to get to the point? Say no. I mean, believe me, I'm trying. Like, this is just my way. It is the meandering way. What was the name of the book? Does anybody remember the name of the book I was going to write or what the episode was going to be about? Because I just remember the good humor part now. It all started with an ice cream. It's something like that, right? I guess I'll have to re-listen to this intro. It all started with an ice cream bar. I think that was it. How I learned something. And I can realize that total ice cream archivists and other stuff are like, Scoots, good humor is not having any, they don't make any ice cream bars. Well, it could change. We could change the title. Something cones. It all started with ice. It just doesn't have the right ring. Ice cream cone. So it'd have to be like cones and something, which is totally, that's a different book. It's just not the same thing. Cones and drones. How I took the technology from my family's food syndicate and it turned it, you know, turned it into a renewable resource where everybody wins and provides fresh water for everybody. You know, my journey from, you know, super rich kid to like that dude. Like, I don't think that dude was rich, but you know that, like, guy that does those shoes. That he's got that great smile. Tom's Shoes. I don't think his name's Blake. He was, I think, I'm pretty sure this is like one time my memory is actually correct. Probably because his teeth are so darn good. I can picture him in my head. They say, wow, how do I have instant recall of Blake's smile from Tom's Shoes? And if I'm wrong, then, you know, I guess there's a bit of, I don't know what it has to do with anything, but now I'm in a much better mood. They should, maybe they could just prescribe gifts of him. They say, Scoots, how'd you turn around and become an optimist? They'd say, you know, the dude from Tom's Shoes or whatever that other great shoe company is that's good for people. And it does great stuff that I, you know, total positivity. I was trying to make a fake autobiography. And then I was trying to make another fake autobiography because I found out, you know, that about some other stuff. And then I realized that Blake's smile just puts me in a good mood. And that's how I, Blake's smile, how I became an optimist, the scooter story, how gifts and gifs changed my life. Anyway, if you, I'm glad you're here. You probably got the style of the show or the mood of the show. Silly and goofy and friendly, because I want to make bedtime a place that where I can drain a little bit of the pressure, barely put a smile on your face as you get kind of comfortable. Maybe you grin. Maybe you just picture in those great. Maybe you're Googling that and you say, actually, Scoots, you're only 14% correct about any of that. And 14% was his smile. Everything else, was, all the other facts were wrong. But when I put you know, something shoe person smile on there, it say, why would an explosion of gifts of that dude blow up all of a sudden? Oh, it's a new therapy, Scoots. It's, you know, self-prescribed a bit. You know, you just look at it. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. I appreciate you coming by. I yearn and I strive. I work very hard on this show so that you can get some rest. Thanks again. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show free for everybody. And then we'll get on with the show. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switch to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/with me. That's odoo.com/with me. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, hey everybody, this is it. Tonight's episode is titled, It All Started With an Ice Cream Bar. And this is it's a little bit of a story of someone who was the heir to a fortune, or family fortune, built on what all started with an ice cream bar. And maybe an advance, I don't know, that's just the title of the book. I thought it was a memoir of someone, of how they've lost their family fortune, like they were an heiress or an heir to a family. But so I'll turn it over to the main character. You could call me Colleen. That's Colleen. And this is my story. It all started with an ice cream bar. I had lived in binary land my whole life. Everything was a binary in my home. You know, good, evil, male, female, right and wrong, supposedly. We were taught to think in that manner. Everything we did, fast, slow, nice, not nice. And it was all, did we live up to the family values, the humor name, because my name's Colleen Humor. You could spell it however you like. I'm just telling you how it sounds. When I first started growing up in this world, filled with nice things, but, you know, to me, I wondered, again, I was just thinking in my all-or-nothing thoughts, it didn't feel nice. Now, looking back, I realized it was a mix of both things. Much like the ice cream my family fortune was built on. I was looking for an adventure. I was looking to get away from my family. I was looking to experience life. Also forgot what I was going to say, but because but I'd lived there a long time. I guess that's what I was saying. I'd grown tired of the on and off nature of my family and its rules and the expectation. Oh yeah, to live up to the humor name. Yeah, particularly they like to say, "Oh, we're good. We do good. We feel good. We are good. Our humor's good. Our ice cream is good. Our deeds are good." And you know, people, that we all know that that can't always be true. Or I guess I don't know. But I think I was saying that it all started with an ice cream bar. I was sitting there eating one I had bought myself and snuck into our freezer. An off-brand, a store brand, I knew would, that someone would frown about, be unpleased about. What is this doing in our home? Normally, our ice cream bars were made by one of the chefs that worked in our house, and not me. But rarely were they store-brand bars inferior. They would be the new experimental thing the company was working on. But I started talking to this ice cream bar. It wasn't the first time. You see, I had imagined that an imaginary friend who was an ice cream bar. And that's when it all started for me. That was one of my first memories, was lying in bed. It's funny, our family, you know, we never had there was characters associated with my family's company, but none of them was an ice cream bar. But it was one night I was lying in bed, having trouble getting to sleep, thinking about what it all meant. And an ice cream bar walked into the room, as clear as a nighttime, as clear as it could be at nighttime in my bed. I shared my room with my sister, but that's not super important other than the fact that she didn't, I gasped, you know, ice cream bar. Oh, by the way, life-size ice cream bar. Strolled into the room. Oh, when you say ice cream bar, what do you mean? That's a great question, too. This one is the one that is typically two chocolate-colored cookie, like an ice cream bar, ice cream sandwich, I guess I'm wrong. It all started with an ice cream sandwich that I always called an ice cream bar, but it did present itself. I said, what? And the ice cream bar had a face. It had two eyes. It was very expressive. And it said, I can't sleep, huh? And I said, I may never sleep again. What? I said, just like that, what a. And the ice cream bar sat down at my bedside. A seat many paid people had sat in before. You know, assistants, personal assistants, my parents' bespoke bedtime storytellers, tutors, maids, nursemaids. I don't even know if maybe a wet nurse had been there before. The last person had been there had been a paid bedtime storyteller who I had specifically worked very hard to. You know, I had tried to test their patience, asking them question after question after question. My sister would be sound asleep after the bedtime story had started. But again, I saw it as this bespoke bedtime storyteller who had to wear a tuxedo or an evening gown. They were from a company, like this Relaxing Bedtime Stories Institute or something like that. And they would, but I kept just asking, well, why would they do that? What was the person's name again? What do you mean that they? What kind of dog was it? What color is the dog's nose? Okay. What was the weather like? And then those are detail-oriented questions. I also ask motivation questions, holes in logic questions, delayed questions where I ask a bunch of questions in a row, then let them get the story moving. And then give a delayed question that also derails the story. It became like a challenge. And they said, until finally the founder was there trying to tell me a bespoke bedtime story. They were much more calming and relaxed. And they patiently had heard my questions over and over again. And they saw right through my attempts. Said, wow, some people would call you precocious. Some people would call you adorable, inquisitive in nature. And I know you can't sleep, and I know you're frustrated. And also know what you're up to, asking all these questions. And you know, you probably never asked for a bedtime story anyway. And maybe you don't want a bedtime adventure. We're just, you know, we're here to help, but I know we'll represent something else to you. So I'm going to do you a favor, kid. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. One day, you're going to find your own way. You're going to find someone or something to come in here and keep you company. And then I asked you, who, where, what, you know, and they said right there, and they pointed to my chest, the center of my chest. They'll come from in there, and they'll help you, and then you'll forget about them for a while, and then they'll come back in your life. So good luck. We you know, the company's never, you know, worked out great all the telling you the bedtime stories, because, you know, we're you know, it was either way, whether you sleep or don't, we get so it's been good working with you, kid. Now I realized, or then I realized, when the ice cream bar walked in my room, the ice cream sandwich, if you want to be technical, and sat at my bedside, those words echoed in my ears. So wait a second. And I asked, I said, are you an ice cream bar? And the ice cream bar laughed and patted my arm, said, I'm here to help you sleep, to keep you company. I'm your friend. And I said, what's your name? And the ice cream bar said, Guari. And I said, Guari? And he said, no, Guari, Guari. You could just call me G if you like. And I said, Guari, in the ice cream bar, which is really, I guess, technically an ice cream sandwich. Said, Guari, yes. And I said, why are you here? Just to help? Are you from inside me? And Guari said, yeah, what do you think? And then Guari would come every night and keep me company, be at my bedside and basically just say, huh, it's too bad. I see you can't sleep. That's got to be rough. What's going on? And sometime at first, it was nice to have Guari there listening to me. And I would tell Guari about my day or about my family, my mother, mutter, as she had, my father, as they had me call them, the humors, and all the, you know, everything, grandmama, the matriarch of the family, the founder, the creator, just still running the company. It was all right out of a movie. It was even in my mind, all or nothing. I painted in just bold colors, or that's what Guari told me. And as I liked that, and as I had more and more time, and I felt heard, I felt I was being listened to with, I think it's the five A's, so I don't know, acknowledged, I know is one of them, accepted. Some of those other listening things, Guari used them all. Probably because we had to take an extra class at night, a good listening, listening with humor, listening with good humor. Grandmama would laugh. But this day was different. As I said, I was eating a store brand ice cream bar. Now you'll note that was not an ice cream sandwich. It was a bar, though it was on a stick. So it's, in my family, that wouldn't be a stick, but it would said that on there. Ice cream bar. That was it. Part of the new generic movement. So I was having that there. And I thought to myself, it's been a while since I've seen Guari. He'd started sleeping better. Got into a routine with school and found friends and, you know, just said, well, one day I'm going to leave this this family. And that's when I heard it. The door to the back of the house was open. There was a breeze. And as I walked towards the door, I saw a small pool of ice cream. Vanilla ice cream, to answer that next question. And I didn't remember, I hadn't been in that spot before, so I couldn't have dripped the ice cream myself. And I called, hello, hello, is anyone there? Hello, hello. And I looked and I saw further down the path more drips of ice cream. And they said, Guari, Guari, is that G, is that you? Hello? And I followed the path, and then it followed where our property split into other paths. And it was the one that headed to our seaport. And yes, we had a seaport. This was not a public company. Almost 70% before those two dudes with the, in Vermont and the Europeans came with their ice cream. Grandmama, she controlled the 80% of the ice cream consumption in your country. Your country now, as you'll hear. But I headed down to the seaport. Yes, so we had a seaport. And at first it looked like the seaport was empty. None of the yachts were there. But I wasn't really looking for boats. I was looking for an ice cream bar. I guess you'd say my imaginary friend, an ice cream bar. And I headed out on the you see, okay, what's the difference between a seaport and a dock? It's, well, we're it was a cove protected from the ocean. We lived on the sea, but this was an enclosed cove. We could bring in sizable ships. This is large, almost a bay. Then extending out to it was a pier, but a pier with a building on it, you know, for loading and unloading supplies. We lived on an island, by the way. A large one, not a private island, but a part of the island with privacy. And there's a building for unloading and loading things for us to wait, you know, lounging, relaxing, changing for changing into your boating garb. There's even a, you know, luxury, the lap of luxury. But then I saw a small boat. It looked to be made of paper. And on the front of the boat, it said the SS Paperboy. It was made of newspaper, by the way. It looked to be. And there is standing at the bow of the ship, I believe that's what you call it, was Guari. An ice cream sandwich, a giant, you know, huge, bigger than me, waved to me. If you recall the drips of ice cream I saw, let me know something. It tucked it back in my mind, and I was happy. I said, Guari. And then I said, permission to come aboard. And Guari said, permission granted, Captain. You don't need permission, though. And then I climbed aboard the SS Paperboy. And Guari was there. Guari started throwing the lines off that had attached the ship to the dock. And I said, I don't know how to sail a ship. I don't know where we're going. And Guari said, don't worry. And then just kind of trailed off. And I said, what is it? Where are we going? And Guari said, on an adventure. And I said, oh, an adventure. And I said, where to? And Guari said, And then I said, wait a second, you're dripping. Guari, I've never seen you dripping before. I followed your drips down here to the seaport and the ship. What kind of adventure are you? Is everything? And Guari said, we need to go see Dr. Mario. And I said, Dr. Mario? So that sounds very, very official. And then I said, well, how will we get there, Guari? Like, Guari said, I need to go below. There's a freezer below. But don't worry, it's bird week, and you'll get there. You'll get to the Dr. Mario. And I said, does Dr. Mario live on, like, Yoshi's Island or something like that? And Guari said, don't worry, the birds will know where to go. And so I went below with Guari, and there was a walk-in freezer. I wondered if this was one of my family's ships, because I said, well, this would make sense. But there was a cot in there, and it laid Guari down, and put a couple, like there were some frozen vegetables down there, and I put them on Guari. Well, I guess not like a blanket, because they were just little bags. Guari was about 6 feet tall, and then it got chilly, and Guari said, I need to rest, I'll see you soon. And then I went to leave, and Guari said, one more thing, could you tell me a story? And I said, what about the ship? And Guari said, the birds are going to pull the ship, it's a whole thing. Don't worry about it. You don't need to tell me. And I said, no. And then I noticed a coat there, so I put it on. And I said, okay, this is much more tolerable. And I sat at Guari's side. I pulled up what I guess now looking back at it was probably a giant barrel of ice cream. And I sat there at Guari's side and I said, once upon a time, there was a child in an ice cream bar and they were best friends. The ice cream bar, before they were friends, was a girl named Colleen. The ice cream bar lived in a land with all other ice cream bars and ice cream sandwiches and cones and those kind of things. And the ice cream bar's family believed that the key to happiness was collecting walnuts. For there was only so many walnuts in this world, and they figured out a way to collect the walnuts the most effectively. Because this was before ice cream bars had opposable thumbs, they had an invention that would help them collect these walnuts, and they collected the walnuts all day long. And they told the little children one day they would be in the walnut collecting business, and they would be happy too. The more walnuts they had, the happier they would be. And this one child named Guarina said, why do walnuts make us happy? And then the great-grandmama said, sit down, Guarina. Let me tell you a tale. Before your family collected walnuts, which walnuts are just, tangible and intangible. Do you know what that means, Guarina? And Guarina had no idea what the grandmama was talking about. Then he said, well, walnuts are, they're an ingredient in different things. And how do I explain it to you? There's only so many walnuts in the world, and we have most of them, but some people need walnuts and some people want walnuts, and they're willing to trade things for our walnuts and even do things for us, turn fans on and off, for example, Guarina. Or, do things for us. You know, there's even people with opposable thumbs that we will do things to exchange for walnuts. And Guarina still didn't understand. What is it about the walnuts that makes us happy? Is it the things we exchange them for? And Grandmama said, it's the ability to exchange them that makes us happy. The ability to know that we could do it at any time. Guarina said, I still don't understand. And then the grandmama just laughed and said, well, one day you'll understand, Guarina, and you'll be happy, and you'll realize it's because of the walnuts, the surplus of walnuts, that you'll be happy. So don't worry about it. Just be happy. And Guarina tried to close Guarina's eyes and tried to imagine what it was like to be happy, because Guarina wasn't sure what happiness felt like. And then a girl came in Guarina's room and said, I'm here to play with you. I'm your friend. And Guarina said, what's a friend? The girl said, do you like to play? And Guarina said, I do. And the girl said, what do you like to play? And Guarina said, water splash, song singing. And the girl said, that sounds fun. Could you teach me how to play? I'd love to play that with you. And they played water splash, song singing, and other games and things Guarina liked to do. Lying on the floor, ceiling staring was another one, or making funny noises. A lot. They had many good times. And Guarina knew what happiness felt like when she would lie in bed. She would think of the times she had with this girl. And she would, and then I realized that now I'm calling my friend Guarina, who was asleep. So I didn't finish the bedtime story. I got up and took my jacket off and I left the freezer because I knew the end of the story wouldn't have helped my friend, my ice cream bar. But then I thought about it. If I'm in an adventure with my imaginary friend, then where am I? Where is this Dr. Mario? And I went up to the surface of the ship, but I was thinking about the end of the story, you know, where Guarina found out that the little girl was paid to play with her. But she still was happy. And I took a breath and I felt a sea breeze on my tongue. I looked up and there was birds pulling the ship like they were sails, thousands and thousands of birds. And I saw an island getting closer and closer. And I just kind of sat there in the bow of the ship, thinking about Guari sleeping below, Guarina riding on the bird-powered waves, watching the island get larger and larger. Oh, hoping this was the island. We were supposed to be at the island with Dr. Mario. Eventually, the ship came in to a small bay, and the birds took it to a dock, and they even kind of swung around some of the things and the lines to tie the boat to the dock, and I decided to, like, Wari sleep. I got off the boat and I waved goodbye as the birds flew away. I said, "Thank you, birds." And I started to walk up the only path I saw. It was a dirt path. There was no ice cream drops on this path and no signs. There was only one path and it led up a hill with green grass on both sides, over a stream and then down into a valley, yeah, with some woods. And I could see from the top of the valley that the path led into the woods. And on the other side of the woods was a path leading out through the base of the valley, and where it got narrower and narrower into where I could just see a puff of smoke coming up from what I presumed was a building. So I headed down to the woods, down the path, into the forest. And I said, "Just remember, just to stay on this path. That's all you need to do." And with the path, I don't know, there's something about the woods. And then I heard it. I heard a crinkling and a crunching. And somebody was crumbling a paper and throwing it to the side. It was just off the path. And then I heard some muttering, some kind of frustrated muttering. And along with my disillusion or confusion, I guess I had to find out what was making the sound. And not far off the path, in a little clearing, it was a little campsite, and there, sitting on a stump, was a beautiful, beautiful creature. It looked like a bit like a duck-billed platypus, but if its bill was a magnificent waffle cone, and it, instead of being on all fours, it was sitting on a stump, presumably because it was, you know, bipedal, but, you know, walked on two legs. And it was writing something. And I said, "Oh, hello, sorry to interrupt you." And the cone, platycone or whatever, conopus looked over at me and said, "Whom are you?" And I said, to be honest, I've almost forgotten. I'm looking for something. And I heard you crumbling paper and muttering, and I couldn't help but, it drew my attention. I was like in the forest, a bit confused. And the platycone said, well, this is the forest of confusion. Maybe that's why I'm having such a hard time too. Hardy har har, have a seat here. So we don't know who you are. And I said, I'm Colleen. It's Colleen Humor is the name. It's quite a name, Colleen Humor. It's a pleasure to meet you. I heard you calling me Conopus or Platycone in your head, and neither one of those is fine. You could call me Platy for short. And I said, well, what seems to be the matter, Platy? It sounds like you're frustrated or something. And Platy said, yeah, we had to rely, you know, thing. I'm writing a story here. And I said, oh, what's the story called? And Platy said, The Tale of the Rural Goblin. And I said, The Tale of the Rural Goblin. And Platy said, that's it. That's the title I have, but I don't have anything else. And everything I have just doesn't seem good enough. And I said, well, I'm pretty good at asking questions. Why do you mind if I ask you some questions about your story? Maybe I could help. And Platy said, well, why would you want to help me? Why would you want to ask so many questions? Why? I'm partially joking, but I do want those questions answered. And I said, well, I don't know why I want to help. I just felt like helping when I heard your frustration. Maybe because I've been frustrated too, and I know how frustrating being frustrated can be. And Platy said, fair enough, fair enough. What about the asking of the questions part? It sounds like it has an extra. And I said, well, there was a time I asked too many questions on a repeated basis to frustrate people. So maybe I need to undo that knot. And Platy said, well, maybe I could help you too. But first, ask me some questions. This sounds delightful. And I said, well, I have two questions, first of all, and I don't know which one is more important to you, Platy. But I guess the first question would be, why is it a rural goblin? And Platy said, well, you know, I know this is a little bit on the nose, but this goblin was a goblin that lived in the countryside with its family for a long time. But then moved to the big city. One of the first goblins to move to the city, and it wasn't easy. And they always called this goblin the rural goblin, because you know most of the, there was a more the you know and that's all I have so far. But it was trying to decide if it should stay in the city or move back and be, because once a rural goblin, always a rural goblin. That's a piece of dialogue I had that I threw on the ground over there. And I said, oh, sounds tough. Sounds like an important thing to figure out. And I said, well, yeah, it'd be nice. And I said, well, has the rural goblin made a list of pros and cons about living in the city or moving back to the country? And Platy said, not yet. What was your other important question? And I said, well, I don't think it matters anymore. I was going to ask you what a goblin is, but I don't think I really need to know because I know how that goblin feels. And Platy said, okay, well, maybe I'll make a list of pros and cons. It sounds like a great place to start. And What are you doing here in the forest of confusion, Colleen Humor? And I said, I'm looking for Dr. Mario, of all things. And Platy said, Dr. Mario? Really? And I said, yeah. Are you familiar with Dr. Mario? And Platy said, am I familiar with Dr. Mario? I wouldn't be writing stories if it wasn't for Dr. Mario. I didn't realize you were an ice cream-based being. And I said, I'm not, but I have a friend, my best friend, as a matter of fact, down in the ship, staying cool, who seems to be melting, and said to get to Dr. Mario. And Blatty said, wow, sounds important. Maybe you should just, well, the thing about the Force to Confusion is it's very confusing. And, I guess I've been saving this for a special day, but you've really tried to help me. Because I'll be honest, once you go into the Force Confusion, you have to give it, it's a long process, and it sounds like you're in a bit of a hurry. And I said, I am. And Blatty said, don't worry, I have a special power called the Crystal Blast, and I'll use it just to help you. And I said, thank you, Blatty. And Blatty breathed out some ice, and all the forest froze for a little while. And Blatty said, hurry along and follow the path. You'll find your way to Dr. Mario. And you won't be confused because everything in the forest is frozen now. And so I hurried along and eventually got out of the forest and then found the trail and started through this canyon towards where I thought I saw the smoke rising from some sort of structure. And eventually I saw down the canyon at the base. It opened up, and there was a small home made of sod, sod sides, a sod roof. I wonder if it was a rammed earth home, because I had done some reading on that earlier. I'd always fantasized about living in a rammed earth home. But I paused before I got there. Because something was running towards me, a little creature. At first, I thought it was a dog, because it even started barking, like in a friendly, like a hello, hello bark, and not a barky bark bark. And then I heard a calling, a woman's voice, saying, Pablo, Pablo, come back. And she came out of the home, the rammed earth home, sod home. And then Pablo got up to me. And Pablo was a collection of, wasn't a dog, wasn't a being I'd ever seen before. It looked like a bunch of, I guess I'd say chocolate balls stuck together. And then Pablo kissed me, but it was a dog too at the same time. And I said, okay, Pablo, okay. But I didn't want to pet Pablo because if it really was made of chocolate, I didn't know. And then the woman was approaching. She was wearing a lab coat. So I made the assumption that this was Dr. Mario. I said, Dr. Mario? And she said, yes, I am Dr. Mario. And I said, and she said, why are you here? It sounds like you need to tell me something. And I said, it's my best friend, ice cream bar, Guari, started melting and said I needed to bring them here to your island. Well, not to you, for help. And Dr. Mario smiled and put her hand on my shoulder and said, you've come to the right place. And I said, where are we? Am I in? We took a paper ship here pulled by birds, and I met a platycone. And she said, oh, Platy, you're so glad you saw Platy. Out there in the Forest of Confusion, trying to write a book, a story. I know it's going to be a good one. And he said, is this real or a dream? Because I'm pretty sure this ice cream bar is my imaginary friend, but all this feels so real. And Dr. Mario said, well, if you lived in a binary world made up of rules and yeses and nos, of goods and bads, of feeling great and not feeling great. And I said, yeah. And Dr. Murray said, okay, good thing you got Guari out of there. Sounds like you both outgrew that world. And I said, yeah. And Dr. Mario said, well, this world's as real as you want it to be. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? Aren't things just either real or not real? And Dr. Mario whistled, and then a cloud of birds came. Instead of a hot air balloon, it was a cloud of birds with a basket hanging down. And Dr. Mario said, we better go get your best friend, huh? And you could think about that question. And we flew over this majestic, majestic island, and I saw herds of ice cream, half mammals, half ice cream creatures, and strange, every living being was ice cream based other than Dr. Mario and myself. I hadn't noticed it before, but the birds were made from different kinds of sprinkles or jimmies or whatever you choose to call them. And eventually we made our way to the ship, and we got out of the basket, and we went below, and Dr. Mario took a look at Guari and said, okay, well, I think it's Guari's going to be okay. We should bring Guari back to my place. And I said, do you have like a clinic or something? And Dr. Mario said, I'd like to. You know, I have a small place too. This is where this is the island of ice cream friends. And it's where we take care of imaginary ice cream beings that have come into our world. Because our world, or your world, and their world are two very different things, right? And I said, yeah, your world's supposed to be full of good humor, whether your humor is good or not, and sometimes it's a million places in between. And I said, you're right. And Dr. Mario said, you know, I can see by your face that you're very helpful, and you're already trying to help Guari. It sounds like you tried to help Platy. You're nice to Pobble. Would you want to stay here for a little while? You don't have to stay forever, but as long as you'd like. And I said, I might. Are you like a veterinarian of imaginary ice cream friends? And Dr. Mario said, kind of. And I said, well, what else would you need help with? And Dr. Mario said, well, you know, we could use some funding, you know, because I would love a new clinic. And I think we could, you know, use a boat like yours. We could probably use that, and we could probably make this island, because she goes, there's a whole, out there in the world, there's tons of ice cream friends, and other imaginary friends. She goes, some children's imaginary friends are not ice cream based. And I said, not ice cream based. And she said, no, they could be human, they could be butterflies, but they could use our help probably too. You know, once we, you know, get everything squared away in the imaginary ice cream based friend world. And I said, huh. I said, how much money would it take to save all the imaginary ice cream friends in the world? And Dr. Mario said, you know, 186 or something. She said a number. I don't want to say it. And I said, huh. I remember Grandmama bragging that that's how much the company was worth. And Dr. Murray said, you have a look in your eye. What are you thinking? And I said, well, maybe I'm supposed to be here, but maybe I'm not supposed to be here yet. I've got a plan, Dr. Mario. You better sit down for it, and then you could treat Wari, and I'll come back and visit as often as I can. He said, my grandmama's an ice cream baron, and what I plan to do is become her protege and eventually take over the company, then dissolve it and use all the money for our cause here on Ice Cream Isle, if you don't mind me calling it that. And Dr. Mario said, it's called the Ice Cream Isle of Imaginary Friendship. And I said, even better. And so I headed back on the paper SS Paperboy, left Guari behind. And that's my mission. And it all started with an ice cream bar, or an ice cream sandwich, if you wish. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show recently over on Apple Podcasts. I want to thank MJK Kirby P, MJ Kirby P, who loves everything about the podcast, TNG. They've listened to all of them, fall asleep to them every night. Thank you so much. You know, trouble getting to sleep. The podcast has helped me establish a safe bedtime routine and removes a lot of stress. 10 out of 10. About to listen again and fall asleep. Good night, fellow listeners. Iggy Z says, hope you do more TNG. Well, since you wrote this, Iggy, we have. Thank you for a variety of reasons. Or maybe that's when the latest TNG came out. I wake up many times, can't get back to sleep, you know, lose hours of sleep. Now I keep an old iPhone loaded with old sleep TNG episodes. Tucked under my pillow, so sleep's always 10 minutes away. Hope you do more TNG. I have found out that if I don't know the show you're talking about or the originals, it doesn't work as well. Well, I'm glad that works, Iggy Z. Thank you. S.J. Ashisha from Canada says, I heard a review I didn't write. Yeah, there's a lot of different people, strange similarities between screen names. But 5 stars, used to be Insomniac. Thanks to Scooter's Board Power, I can now sleep. In episode 788, I heard my handle, and I didn't write a review. That's weird. Yeah, maybe, I don't know if maybe it was the American and the Australian or the UK version of you. Snoopy, 666. So Spoopy, 666, even better. Love, love, love this podcast. Listen when doing chores. It's comforting. Started listening to fall asleep. I'm asleep within 10 minutes. Julie F. Says, I'm thankful for Scooter. I have sleep issues. Saves me every night. Sugary Sleeper says, like a grown-up bedtime story. You know, I had to go to to the big H and help me fall asleep while I was there and get some rest. I recommend just the right amount of boring to lull you to sleep. What else do we have here? Lost in Sinai. Lost in Sinai says, best night's sleep completely free. Used to listen to movies. They were comfortable. I didn't have to pay attention. Sure was engaging for my brain. Looking through the sleeper genre and here, found this podcast, a match made in heaven, creaky dulcet tones. They do deal with anxious stuff. Scooter talks in circles, riddles, and mazes. Nothing to focus on. Perfect pitch. I'm really grateful and grateful to patrons because it's 100% free. Thanks for not making falling asleep a luxury. Everyone deserves a good night's rest. Cut the Rope Lover 123. So we know what your favorite game is. Cut the Rope. I can picture it right now. Scoots has revolutionized my sleeping routine. Used to have trouble staying asleep. No longer the case. It took a few tries. Now I wake up at 3 a.m., fire up episode of Sleep With Me, and I'm out like a light. Scooters literally changed my life. A great night's sleep with a ripple effect. I feel like a new person. Thank you, Scooter. F764, money sign, ?90FWE. Creaky dulcet tones of delight. For these Z's, I owe Scoots, who scoots me off to dreamland. Forever grateful. Lulling vocalization are the oars that row this restless soul in a sea of sleep. Thanks, Scoots. Thank you. A Garden of Tears from Australia. So good. Podcast is perfect. You can listen. You don't have to pay attention. Doesn't make a whole heap of sense anyway. My husband didn't like it at first, but now he frequently asks me to put on the Sleepy Man. Many nights where I've struggled to sleep, Scoots has kept me company. Thank you and keep it up. Lagertha, 55, best sleep ever. Love the podcast. Try to download, if I know I'm going to be away from Wi-Fi, try to download as many as I can. I always struggle to fall asleep, and since I started listening to podcasts, I fall asleep within 15 minutes. Chow98 says, give it a few tries, great for sleep and anxiety. I'm sure I'm repeating what others said, but the podcast really has helped. First, I tried the podcast for quite a while, and I gave it up because I didn't fall asleep within 10 minutes. Thankfully, I ended up reading that most people need a couple of tries. Now, anytime I travel or I'm feeling anxious, it gets me out of my head and relax. Give it multiple tries till you get in your routine. Thank you, Lazen. Thanks, Scoots. Struggled to sleep for years. I'm proud to say after almost 10 years of insomnia, I usually fall asleep before we get to the story. Never listen to a whole episode. 420 Blaze at MF doesn't like the podcast. It's normally the, anybody with the username 420 Blaze it usually at least gets a kick out of it, but they didn't like it at all. And they've one star, Lind GBL. Wonderful, this podcast works. So glad I found it. Who knew a podcast about nothing would put me to sleep? Highly recommend. And finally, Z Shawl Waltz says, I can't believe it works. Looked into this when I couldn't get to sleep and didn't think I even made it to the actual story. Now when I need to get up early and make sure I sleep the night before, I fire this up and get comfortable. One of my favorite podcasts. So thanks, everybody. Review the show over on Apple Podcasts. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because of people that take the time to do stuff like that. Review the show, spread the word, support the podcast, or support the sponsors. So I really appreciate it. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com, including A Good Morning Night Vale. The official Night Vale recap, hosted by Meg, Symphony, and Hal. You'll soon find you get three new best friends if you start listening to this for real. Three wonderfully amusing people. So fun to listen to. If you're a fan of Night Vale, or you say, hey, I want to get into Night Vale, you'll become an instant super fan. And then you'll also become a super fan of Meg, Symphony, and Hal. So then you get double super fandom. Or, I don't know, maybe it's a quad super fandom. I'm not sure. Will you also be a fan of Good Morning Night Vale? Welcome to Night Vale. All the characters. So, buckle your podcast belt and check it out. Good Morning Night Vale. Whatever podcast app you use, nightvalepresents.com. And we're a proud member of PRX. You can see all the amazing work they're doing at prx.org. And that's it. There's plenty of other episodes ready to go if you need them. Just queue them up episode after episode. But how would you like me to leave your feet? Tucked in or untucked in? Okay, there. Yep. Oh, okay. Oh, like that. Got it. Good night.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/ com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.